Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's time for another wonderful episode of the Bill
Burt
Podcast. What's going on, Burt? Jeez, you've changed so much since the last time I saw you.
I know. I can change hats real quick. I got so many fucking hats, Bill. It's ridiculous. I got my trainer.
What is that one?
This one is, God dang it, they just sent them to me.
The Diamondback Devil Dog.
No, it's, I think it's a Montana farm team, but they sent me every single one of their hats. I really should know the name of the team because they sent me all their hats and I tagged them in my Instagram post. That's yeah, awesome. I gotta do something.
Hat people are watching, don't send me any hats. I don't want any shit. I'm trying to get rid of stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's when I first got into this business, Bill. I remember going over to, not business, but like,
I was really hoping it was going to take you longer to take that sticker off because I love that you go, you know, Bill, you know, when I got into this business, that's just funny to watch.
I remember going to Rogan's house one time. You remember when he'd do the podcast at his house and his office?
I was just
office,
talking about that. Yeah, that little conference table.
Little conference table. And he had so much merch and like boxes of stuff that like fans sent him and like pictures that fans sent him. And I remember going, man, if I could get to this place in my life, I'll have made it. And I'm telling you, I didn't realize how fucking annoying it is to just have boxes on boxes of shit people sent you. And you're like, oh my God, I got too much shit. I want to get rid of my shit. I got to get rid of stuff, man.
Yeah, no, I'll give you some good advice. Don't take gift bags. Oh. Don't do any of that shit. Cause I'm telling you, you will literally, I always look at it like, dude, you gave a shit enough to buy a ticket to come to my show. That's all you need
That's
to do.
All I want. That's
all you need to do. Because the thing about it is if somebody gives me something, like I feel so bad if I don't take it. But then what happens is just what we do. You're doing this shit, you know, when it's not this bullshit, you're doing it every night. And then you're coming home. Like there's still a guy. There's a guy that made a wood sign that said Bill's Garage, right? Yeah. And I know it's kind of corny, but he took the time to do it and all of that. And he was also kind of, because I was talking about how the garage was my house, that I still have it. And I finally was looking. I was outside doing my band workout, which is fucking doing great for the rotator. Is it rotator cuff or cup? I still don't know. Cuff. With an F.
Yeah.
F like fantastic. I'm gonna finally put the thing up there. But people make these things and they take all of this time. Dude, when I was on the road one time, I was trying to lose weight. And this lady came and she had like a cookie store or something. And she made all these cookies with my name on it and shit. And I had to eat every one of them.
Yeah.
It's like you took the time to bake for me. So what be careful what you say on the podcast. Because if you go like, dude, you know what I'm really into? I found the best pair of toenail clippers. These things are fucking unbelievable, man. Next thing you know, you'll have like 1,000 of them. They'll have like, you know, a razor on it and shit.
You don't want to know the best one? I used to, I have a P.O. box that people send stuff to. And for a period of time, for whatever, I don't know who was doing it, but people were sending me 25-pound weights. And I have 9 25-pound weights.
People Why 25?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I said something. I must have. And then I went on my Instagram. I was like, hey, whoever's sending me 25-pound weights, I'm good. And then all of a sudden, 25-pound weights started showing up. What I love, though, is when you get a company that'll, like, hit you up or like drop off something at your show and then all of a sudden you try it and you love it. And that is how I feel about Liquid Death. They these cans of water, dude, they're the fucking greatest, aren't they, Andrew?
I got it. Okay, dude, I like? I wish I brought it with me. You're such a good businessman. Is whatever that beard, the beard wash and the beard balm and all of that.
Harry's,
is it? Yeah.
Harry's, but I'm not sure if they advertise on this podcast. I think that's the other one, but it's fine.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry, see, Bart, I should just let you do this.
No. It's fine.
Well, now this is awkward.
No. I love when you get hooked up with a good product that is a sponsor and then all of a sudden, or like Or like, there's this guy, his name, his name's Burn. He's got, it's called Burner's Beef. And we're on tour and he's just this guy. He looks like John Candy. It looks like John Candy with a beard, right? Just a guy at working out of his garage, working out of his kitchen, and he's making beef jerky. He just loves it. So he makes some beef jerky, drops it off at one of my shows, and we eat it and we love it, right? And then we go, hey guys, if you wanna, on the Instagram, and this is what I love. I go, if you wanna try some really good beef jerky, check out this guy's burner beef. And he fucking gets orders out the ass. He's like, dude, I just make this shit out of my I gotta like buy equipment now. And now the guy is a professional beef jerky salesman.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he makes great beef jerky. Great beef jerky. And he's like doing it. He's doing his dream. If I can help facilitate a dream like that, then that's worth it.
Oh, I would rather do that.
Yeah, that's the fucking greatest, man.
Yeah, have it go that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I love when you find good merch, like people making cool shit, and you're like, damn, I could really ride with this.
Oh, you know, wait, you want to talk about something that I've been doing? I went out to the desert. I still call it the dessert because of Greg Giraldo. I still say when your balls are sticking onto your leg out here in the dessert. We went to me and the family went out to Joshua Tree.
Really?
So yeah, I went out there and everybody got tested and shit. I have some other family. We came in, whatever, did the whole thing. So I tried mushrooms for the first time because I was in the desert. I was like, I got to see what it's about. And somebody told me it would help my tinnitus, which is total bullshit. these fucking mushroom people, they think they understand the universe after they take it. Dude, you fucking understand the vibrations, man. So it's just like, no, dude, you were tripping. Like you look at a lamp a whole different way. So anyway, I took it and my buddy told me, he goes, take four squares. So I said, all right, I'm taking six. I want to go on a ride.
Jesus Christ, Bill.
Well, fortunately, my wife talked me out of it. She goes, take four. And I'm like, typical, pull it back on the reins. Yeah, I wanted to be the Lizard King. I'm like, if I'm going to fucking do it, I want to do it. So I ate the four squares immediately, really nauseous. It was in the form of chocolate, just really like, and the being nauseous lasted the whole time. And the other dude that I did him with was feeling the same thing. So, you know, at first it starts feeling like a pot cookie. Like, all right, I've been here before. And then it just kind of keeps going. Like passes the pot house. Like, oh, shit, we're still going down the road. And then, you know, the TV starts looking like it's getting bigger. And then all of a sudden it kind of looks like maybe it's going to fall on me. But I'm just sort of enjoying it, going like, well, I know that's not happening. That's bolted into the fucking wall, and that's a TV. TVs don't grow. You're able to keep it like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I started talking myself through it. And somebody else there was like, Jesus Christ, Bill, just go with it. It's like, well, I don't want to start freaking out. I got to remind myself a toilet can't breathe. I'm sorry, right?
I got to remind myself a toilet can't breathe.
No, because I wanted to take a leak, and the toilet was kind of doing this a little bit. Just a little bit. So then I got about 2 hours into it and I was just like, all right, cool. I need to go lay down. So I go lay down and I felt this, I told this on my podcast, I felt this profound sense of loneliness and not feeling loved. And this depressive thing. So now I'm in my head going, what the fuck is this? And I'm looking at my wife going like, did I marry the wrong person, right? And I'm like, no. And then so then what I did was like, all right, let me think about something that I know I love and I know loves back, you know. Not like I don't know I love my wife, but yeah, you know, yeah, married any given day, it's like, you know, like you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Like next day, I'm fucking out of here, right? That's marriage, right? So I go, let me think about my kid. So I think about my kids and I still felt the same thing. And I'm going like, okay, so this isn't that. And I realized because I'm going to therapy again, all of this shit that I was running from, this is the feeling I had growing up. And this stuff is like coming out of my pores now. So it wasn't a bad thing. So I just had to sort of sit in it and realize that that's what this is. And I don't know, like the next day I was all clear. I was just like, wow, man, I really like, and I was still, through the rest of the trip, I was like, man, I just slept walked through my 30s and 40s, just trying to achieve shit because of the way I felt when I was a kid. The, what I did to fix that was to just start doing shit. And if I did all of these things and accomplished these things, then people would think I was cool and then they'd stop fucking with me. That was my little kid way of getting out of this shit. And now I'm in my 50s and that shit doesn't go away till you deal with it. So I'm finally stopping and like sitting with it. So it ended up being like this great thing for me to kind of like deal with, to kind of have that Goodwill Hunting, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Fucking moment. So it was weird because all my friends that I told I was going to take them were all excited because they thought like, I was hoping I'd be like, dude, I felt love. I felt oneness with the fucking universe. I wanted to hug a cactus. It wasn't that. It was just sort of like this fucking empty thing. But I was able to figure it out. Thank God I had kids.
Yeah.
If I didn't have kids, I'd be fucking looking at my wife sideways and ruining that. So that was my trip.
You're such an interesting person because you don't look like, you don't act, seem like the type of person that would go, I'm going to do some mushrooms.
Dude, I tried them the first time when I'm 52. So I am not that person.
Were you nervous?
No. Dude, I flip out over little shit. I don't get nervous on big shit. I'm able to just block it out and do the job. Yeah. Right? And it like really helps me for when I'm really nervous. Like for like really big gigs, like back in the day, like the first times you know, when you're doing like, you're doing 5 minutes on a talk show and it becomes like super like surreal and you're hearing the band playing and you're like, what the fuck am I? Like, this is happening. He's going to introduce the comedian and it's going to be me. It's like, you have to like fucking just block all of that out and be like, all right, this 400 fucking jerk offs here. They look like me. They talk, they speak in my language. I can make them laugh. Why are they jerk-offs? I don't know. See, I call them jerk-offs because I'm nervous. So I'm lashing out at them. And I had this weird thing where I had to work up like a healthy level of hatred on some level. If I didn't feel comfortable, I would go like, you know, fuck the fucking host. I'd have to literally, I had to go there because that was just me being nervous. So I wasn't like, fuck the host. Thank God for the host. Thank God he has the TV show. I got something to do tonight. So it helps me to like, like just sort of like dial in, but I'm really bad with like little shit. I mean, it has to come out somewhere. So it's like little things. So like, if I'm going to do something, like it's really scary. I don't want to do it. I'm nervous about what's going to happen and everything. But then once I do it, like I'm one of those people, if I'm going in a pool, I just jump in.
Yeah.
The deep end. I don't walk down the stairs. My wife doing that drives me up the fucking wall. It's like, well, you just get in. It would have been over like fucking a minute ago. This is how I do it.
That's my wife.
Oh my God. It's like, why would you prolong that? So yeah, it helps me with like flying and shit like that. Like the other day I soloed out into a place where I hadn't been before and it was way more gnarly than I thought it was going to be. There was like three things all happening at fucking once. And then I got clearance and I was crossing the center line. I was like, what in the fuck is it? And I was just like, all right, just look down your GPS. You can see the traffic. There's nobody there. There's a Charlie airspace coming up. It's from 2,700 or whatever. You're at 2,500. Just stay it here. You don't have to fucking talk to them. Just go north of this. And then I got north of that. And I see there's all these fucking jerk offs like me getting north of it because they don't want to talk to the fucking tower. So then I just make the decision. These fucking assholes aren't even talking on the radio. I don't want to be near them. So I ended up asking for clearance, got back into the Charlie. So now I'm talking to him. So I got fucking two eyes, my eyes and his eyes, watching what these jerk offs are doing. And I was all able to do that calmly. Now, you tell me to download Google Chrome, and I will almost take my laptop and throw it out the fucking window. And I don't know why I'm like that, but that is the way, that is the way I am wired. And the problem with that is most of life, 95% of life is downloading Google Chrome. Shit like at that level. So I've spent so much of my life losing my shit. Over like, you know, anything, like nothing. Like, I mean, like the stupidest shit. Like people who don't understand that a garbage disposal, you're supposed to scrape off as much food as possible and then put it in. It's not designed to take all of that fucking food, and people just bang, you know, got a fucking chicken bone going down there.
My daughters just empty all their food into the sink. I go, no. You throw that in the trash, then whatever else, the garbage.
There's so much little information about garbage disposals. It was like when I was like 30 years old, somebody finally told me how to hit the ketchup bottle. That you hit it on the Heinz 57. Everybody's always going like from the back.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden somebody just says, no, you just hit it on the 57. And the shit came right out. I was just like, I think the kids call those life hacks or whatever.
Oh, I love a good life hack.
People will stick food like this big and they'll just send it down there. It's like, dude, like, you understand this is the pipes, the sewer, everything goes into this shit. You want as little of that stuff going down there as possible. By the way, dude, the fucking sewer pipe, the fucking drain pipe to the street, I got to get that fixed. Fucking, I just got a couple of gigs coming up. I can't announce them yet. And I'm like, finally. Because, you know, other than podcasting, you know, we've all been in like a financial freefall here. Fortunately, I'm not a fur coat guy. I don't have a grill. I didn't do any of that dumb shit. So I got, you know, I'm all right. And these guys fucking came up and it's just like, yeah, man, we gotta do the whole thing. And I was just like, all right. Just fucking do it. And then it's just like, yeah, this section's fucked up too. It ended up just going all the way around the house. And the number just kept going, dudge,
oh my God,
dudge. And I literally go, can you just cap it at this number? And he goes, okay. And he came $2,000 less. And I'm like, oh, is that how it works? I should have said less than that.
So wait, are you doing indoor gigs?
I'm going to do a virtual gig.
Really?
I did a benefit for somebody. This high school kid in Massachusetts got hurt really bad playing hockey. And, you know, it's just something, you know, a comedian, you can just help somebody out. Why not go fucking do it? So,
yeah,
you know, I did that. And then through doing that, it's just like, oh, I could do like a gig or something or a gig or two doing this just because, you know, I just miss it. And I also need to, I'm not Bill Gates here, man. I need to make some fucking money here.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not going to be getting back on stage for at least 5 months. And I won't be able to get on stage for 5 months. And I'm fucking kind of, I kind of feel like I have no point in life. I'm just like,
Why aren't you getting on stage for that long?
Long story. I'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
But I felt very guilty going out and doing those summer shows. Cause I was like, I don't know. Am I doing the right thing? You know, I know they're not the ideal climate, but I'm so glad I did them now because I'm like, oh, I would have not gotten on stage for fucking 2 years.
No, but they're safe. Stay in the car, wear the fucking mask, whatever it is. You can do it safely. Like what that guy is doing in Texas. I don't have a problem with him opening up the whole fucking state. My only problem is just like, just have people wear masks when they're inside. I mean, it's a big enough state. I guess people could kind of walk around each other, you know, I don't know. But like, you know, I don't think doing like a show, if they're trying, you know, they're taking people's temperature at some point, you know, people have to get out of the house. They have to fucking, they have to earn a living.
Yeah.
And dude, I've just seen so many of my favorite goddamn places are just going under. But the upside that I do know of that is I feel like that, you know, I don't think, I'm actually really liking this new generation of young people. You know, I did like three shows on Friday. Yeah, they're cool. I kind of feel like the millennials took the hit on this whole new overly sensitive pretending to care time. Like so much of it is just pretending to care and grandstanding and shit. They kind of took the hit on that. Like the way when we were talking to George Lopez, how his generation figured out that doing blow was not good for your career.
Yeah.
Fortunately for them, we knew not to do that. I feel like millennials took that hit for this next generation. They're a little more relaxed. And I think every generation in front of them kind of let them know like what the happy drugs were and what the ones that made you up on a billboard with like fucking wooden teeth look like, you know. Not saying people won't still fuck up, but like, you know, some of the music, like I've been following some people on Instagram where it's just more, not even like lyrics, it's just more vibe music. Yeah. And I'm like, where I'm in a part of my life where I'm trying to calm down, you know, with kids and shit. And it's just like, I like this. So, oh, I forgot to tell the end of the mushroom story. So I just was so clear the next day. And I was just like, you know what? I need to like take care of myself more. I need to stop. Like, I need to get 8 hours sleep. I need to stop fucking smoking cigars all the time. So I was just like, you know what I'm going to do in March? I go, fuck this. Like me, I'm like all or nothing. I jump in the pool. I'm going plant-based. I'm going to see what this plant-based thing is. I'm going plant. Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, before anybody gets me all fuck, there's no fucking way that I'm not going to keep eating steaks. Okay. I like, you know, I like fucking steaks too much. Which by the way, I saw a bear maul a cow the other day on YouTube. And I usually feel so bad for whatever's getting killed by a fucking bear, because they just maul them to death. But the cow just makes the funniest fucking noise the whole time. He just sounded like he was a passenger in a car with the bear, and the bear kept missing the exit, like, nah. Doing that, right? I know that's heartless, but I also eat burgers. So anyway, so for the last like 8 days, other than like, you know, after I go to therapy, I there's a sandwich place I go to, and I get like a, you know, a sandwich with like salami or something like that. And then Saturday night, we, you know, they opened up the restaurant. So he was sitting outside under a heat lamp, and I got like a chicken palm. But I got to tell you, I ate that chicken palm after eating all like the plant-based the whole fucking week, dude. I mean, I felt like I ate a fucking anchor.
For real?
Well, I mean, it's Italian, so they give you like enough for three people, which is why I love Italians. But like, it was, I should have stopped. So I was sitting there going like, is that the meat or is it because I ate? So I think it was a little bit of both. But I've been making like these fucking protein bowls, or they call them Buddha bowls, before that gets canceled. And dude, I'm barely working off. It's just falling off me.
For real?
Yeah. Like, that's, I weighed myself today. Like, I lost like 6 pounds.
Holy shit.
But I think you do in the beginning, you lose a lot because your body's like, oh my God, he's finally stopped eating ice cream. Oh, this is great. And then it kind of settles in. So I really believe in having that one big fucked up meal every week. You ever see like The Rock?
Oh, those but like, Sunday cheat meals?
Yeah, his Sunday night cheat. See, a lot of people fuck up as they have a cheat day. It's a cheat meal. So he'll have like a whole fucking pizza, or like, dude, he was making these waffles that were like, you know, as big as his fucking arms, man. Things were fucking huge. And like, I think that that's like, that's kind of been working for me.
Oh, so, dude, I walked by a couple eating chicken and waffles in San Diego. I took the girls to San Diego this weekend, and I had a mask on and I had sunglasses on. So the woman couldn't see that I was looking longingly at their food. But I definitely like looked, and then I just kept staring. but I'm in a fucking complete mask. And she got pissed. She was like, excuse you. And I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, you can't see that I'm just looking at your meal. Like, if I had all this shit off, you'd be like,
no, oh, yeah, she might have been saying that too.
Oh, fuck.
Because there's certain people, they don't want you to staring at their
food. It was so fucking good. It looked so good. Yeah. It was by the way, I'll tell you, the name of the restaurant, I don't know the name, but it was right across the street from the Hotel Del Mar. And the fucking chicken and waffles at this place were, I'm talking like double take. I haven't seen tits that have gotten me to stare this long. Like, it was overwhelming. Yeah.
You know, I know a great place for that in, I have it in my phone somewhere, in Durham, North Carolina. It was one of the best soul food places I ever went to. And now I'm just hoping it's still there with all of this.
God.
Yeah, this crap that's going on. Yeah, so that's the deal. So I'm going to try to go the month of March. And then I just need, you know, my buddy Jason Lawhead he's kind of.
I just watched him eat a fucking sandwich today on Instagram.
Yeah.
It looked like the greatest sandwich I'd ever seen in my entire fucking life.
He's an unbelievable cook, but he does like vegetarian. He does plant-based thing. So I just need something to switch it up, dude, because I am like, it's like, what I should have done was gradually go into it because I didn't have all these meals, dude. I'm eating like a fucking prisoner of war. Like, I got like fucking four meals. I've been eating them almost every day, and it's just like, If I eat one more fucking sweet potato and cabbage I can't fucking do it. So I'm getting bored. And I'm like, well, when I eat meat, I don't get bored. It's like, no, when you're eating meat, you got the whole fucking, you know, you're eating chicken, but you're eating chicken like 9,000 different ways. You're eating steak 9,000 different ways, or pork or whatever. But I kind of like the shape that you get in, you know, sleep a little better.
I got up.
Oh, I didn't sleep last night because my wife was watching that stupid fucking interview
with Meghan Markle.
Full blast. Oh my God.
You know what's not fair? The fact that Netflix hides thousands of shows and movies from you based on your location, then has the nerve to increase their prices on you. That's not fair. I mean, I love Netflix. I absolutely love Netflix, but it's not fair.
I'm glad you're reading this one. Jesus. Oh, this is going to be the controversy this week. Bill Burr and Bert Kreischer terrified to talk about fucking Netflix. Go ahead.
Now, you could just cancel your subscription to Netflix, but I wouldn't do that. Yeah. or you could be smart and make sure you're getting your full money's worth by using ExpressVPN like both Bill and I do. So you might not know what's on Netflix in your country is completely different than what someone in the UK or Japan has on theirs. Using ExpressVPN, I can control what country I want Netflix to think I'm in. ExpressVPN has over 90 countries to choose from, and every time I run out of stuff to watch, I just switch to another country, unlock new shows. Right now, I'm watching The Crown. We talk about it on this episode, and it's not the US one because I want the real one. So I'm watching the one from Great Britain. All you got to do is tap on a button, ExpressVPN lets me change my location to the UK, and then I get to watch it. And here's the best part. It's not just for Netflix. You can use ExpressVPN to unlock shows on other streaming services too. Like I use a lot of the BBC iPlayer. It's completely free and available only in the UK. ExpressVPN is so super fast and works on your phone, laptops, even smart TVs, so you can watch shows on the big screen with zero buffering. So be smart. Stop paying full prices for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/Bill Burt. Don't forget to use our link so you can get those 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Bill Burt. expressvpn.com/Bill Burt to learn more.
Okay. Roman, everybody. Squeaky doors, clogged sinks, finicky engines. Dude, my eyes are so bad, I thought that said sticky fingers. I was like, what the fuck is this product? When things break around the house, you take care of it. However, when something's off in the bathroom, you just try not to think about it. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? Take care of it. Go to get roman.com/Bill Burt now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED. Dude, I literally thought they were talking about the bathroom. I'm so dumb. Erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. AUS licensed healthcare professionals will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/Bill Burt and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/Bill Burt now, and you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. Come on, you want your dick to work, all right? And remember, get started today, and you'll save $15 on your first order of erectile dysfunction treatment.
What was your wife's takeaway? Was she like, because, I mean, Black Twitter today was fucking all but ready to get on a plane and kill the fucking Britain. I mean, it was like Britain. I got on Twitter and I was like,
oh, the royal family.
Yeah, the royal family.
I mean, I just felt like I was watching a bad summertime Hollywood movie where you already knew the ending.
Yeah.
It's just like, let me get this straight. You went to the whitest fucking place ever into a castle and you found out they were racist. Like, look, obviously I feel for an all of that type of shit, yeah. But like, I don't know. You're not allowed to say it anymore. You're just not allowed to say where it's just like, it's like, hey, I went out and played hockey and somebody smashed me in the face with this stick. Well, what the fuck are you playing hockey for? Why would you go? I wouldn't go there. Like, I'm not white enough to go there. They would be talking shit. It just sounded like...
You're Irish, Bill. By the way, they don't want you there. That's.
I got to be honest with you. I kind of like, I had fallen asleep and my wife said, do you mind if I watch this? And she had it cranked up. And then like, I ended up waking me up. And then I had her laughing her ass off because I just started doing this bad British accent. And just go, right. So then I met this ginger cunt. Right, and we went to a castle, and I was just being an asshole because I couldn't go to. I slept on the fucking couch last night. Oh, so like, dude. I look. I just
started watching The Crown. Have you seen The Crown? It's on Netflix. It's so fucking good.
I heard that's really good, but
it's fucking amazing.
Did you watch the interview? Like,
I watched it. I watched it.
I just kept waiting to be surprised. Maybe I just know white people because I'm white. Like, I was just like, well, yeah, that kind of seems like, didn't they have a guy there a long time ago? He was like some Indian guy and the nickname they gave him was Sooty. He was such a sellout. He's going, no, it was a term of endearment. I liked it. And he was like the only Indian dude at the golf club. And it's just like, yeah, those guys exist. In like 1860.
Yeah. The truth of all of it is that England or Great Britain doesn't have a great history with, the monarchy doesn't have a great history with racism. By the way, these are like little, my takeaways from The Crown is, the Queen's
now
super
we're talking
uneducated.
The Crown. I love how you're now talking about a TV show.
Oh, it's but that's all I know. All I know is what I saw on The Crown. I don't know anything about the real monarchy. Is like they don't teach them. They didn't teach the Queen like school. They taught her how to be the Queen. Like when, at a certain age, when you're going to be, you possibly will be the Queen. They just start teaching you how to be the Queen. So you don't get like a lesson in history or you don't get math lessons. You just learn how to be the Queen. But was, I was like, yeah, that, I mean, her
how
husband
do you not
was
know
a Nazi.
You're walking into that where they all got a fucking wave like this. You know, you have to sit there if some stiff tells you how to fuck. Now they're gonna control how you wave.
Oh, it just seems like a life you don't want to live in. And I thought that's why Harry got out of it. Honestly, I thought that's why he got out of it because he didn't want to. Royal duties are like fucking exhausting and you don't have freedom. You have no freedom. You got it. That's from what I'm seeing.
I know they live in a castle, but how about the fact you can never move out?
Yeah.
You never move out of your parents' house and you're just fucking sitting there. Dude, how sick do you get of fucking recitals? Ah, fuck, some cunt's coming over here with a cello. I got to get all dressed up in my ruffles. The fuck are we doing here?
I mean, Prince.
You want to go to a fucking soccer game and get shit-faced and eat fish and chips like everybody else. And you got to fucking sit there. Bum, 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 bum.
Dude, I tell you what, I wouldn't mind. I just because they seemed pretty lax on when you can drink and how much you can drink. I wouldn't mind being a Prince and just have one of those. You know, it seemed like Prince Philip always had a fucking cocktail in his hand. And the guy's 100 years old. So you get doctors all over you.
Dude, you and I would definitely be the Ted Kennedys of that fucking family. Like I would just be like how well I'm living. Even if I die young, it doesn't matter because I still had a better life than everybody else in a very superficial way.
So wait,
right. Look at this ruby, right?
Here's my question.
I got a gold-plated fucking lighter. I know I'm doing a bad accent, whatever.
So wait, here's my question. Because you've been in his shoes, meaning you married a woman of color. He married a woman of color. His family said fucked
up
shit.
I was a prince.
No, but like just the experience of your brother saying something off color that you go, what the fuck? Like, and then sharing it with the world is, I think, kind of what is, I'm sure, fucking.
No, I don't come from a family like that. It's not like there was like that shit was going. I don't like talking about super personal shit.
Yeah.
But just say my family was a little more open-minded than the average family. You know, we've definitely, you know, fucking had our issues and shit.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't a... No one asked
the skin color of your kids are going to be? That's what the big thing is. They were like, how dark's Archie going to be? And you're like, what the fuck?
I mean, it's like, they're just fucking... They're just backwards people, dude. And they're all fucking each other. I will tell you this. This is my take on all of that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. I have the answer to all of that as far as like when it comes to racism and should people be together and mix and all of that. How beautiful my kids are.
Yeah.
Is the answer. And then if you look at the royal family, who've all been fucking in the same pond, like purebred fucking Dalmatians. I mean, they're some of the ugliest fucking people. I mean, it's just a sea of fours walking through that fucking, they're a mess. Dude, fucking Prince Charles was one of the ugliest fucking people I've ever seen in my, he was never good looking.
He was a weird kid too, weird child growing up.
They're all weird because they're all sitting in the castle fucking each other. So that's my question. You looking at these weird, ugly ass white people living in this fucking castle. Why? I can't believe she went in there and made it out.
Yeah.
I mean, that seemed like, what was that poor reporter in the Middle East where they had him go in the embassy and he never fucking, he came out, but he didn't come out alive. It's just like, you gotta, that is like, you're fucking with the level of power that I wouldn't fucking go in there. There is no fucking way I would ever go in that palace and that door's closing behind me.
Oh.
If people go like, dude, you got to see what it is. I'll take your word for it. I'm good. I'm going to keep being Johnny Appleseed out here. You know, I'll be bread and circus. You guys, you do all the fucking yacht shit.
God.
Yeah. So like.
They're brutal too, man. Once you're out, you're fucking out. You're dead to them. Like they did that with the Queen's uncle was the first king, and he abdicated the throne and gave it to his younger brother, her dad, and they fucking hated his life. Yeah,
abdicated.
I know a lot about this, man. I watched
what does that mean? Three. Slow down here. I gotta start taking notes. Abdicated.
I tell you what though,
that is the this most is gonna make for word
great season seven
used.
On the crown.
What's that?
This is gonna make for a great season seven on the crown when they cover all this shit.
I know they just kind of wrote that thing. Yeah. So that was what I kind of thought about. It's just like, I was not surprised that they would be super racist. like wondering how dark the kid's going to be. None of that is surprising. It was just, wasn't that, I thought it was kind of already out there. I guess it was interesting to see somebody that actually went in there and like, you know, and had that experience and everything. But like none of that was, you know, I mean, it's England. I mean, they're just the shit that they've, shit that they've done. I mean, it hasn't been good.
No, it was, yeah.
I'll tell you, it was a rough one. Okay.
It was a rough one. I would love to be those, just one of those gifted lives that Prince Philip had, where he just partied his balls off, took a boat, went, sailed to Australia, sailed back, fucking big. And he took like a cruiser, like a big cruiser. He was like a, like something in the Navy, in the Royal Navy. It was just like, fucking, let's go party, boys. They had a bachelor party around the world and just were fucking indigenous women everywhere.
Dude, that's fucking, that just sounds like the most loneliest, horrible fucking experience.
Oh, being Prince Philip would suck dick. He didn't get a voice in his life, bro. That guy got fucked. He married his,
that's
fucking,
not what life's about. Dude, if you make money, you should help people out. Other than that, what's the point of fucking making money?
Yeah.
Look, I understand. No, hey, man, yeah. I always wanted to have a fucking, you know, fucking pinball machine in my garage or whatever. I'm not saying you can't fucking do that. But like, you know, if you start making like decent, like crazy fucking money, or like even just, it's easy. You can go fucking help somebody out. Even if you just see a band playing and they got a fucking hat there, throw them a fucking 20. It's your little good deed for the day. Something, you can do something. But to just sit there and just roll around in it, you know, right, we got a yacht. All the women with bad fathers come on the boat so we can do horrific things to you. Like, I'd just be like, I would just think that we'd hit a fucking iceberg if we did some shit like that.
Oh, there was no insight on the problematic behavior that went on back in those days. None whatsoever. I mean, it just, Prince Philip started what we would now call grooming the queen when she was like 13. He started writing her letters. He was like, you know, 7 years older or something. Started writing her letters. He was like, yeah, fuck, I want to marry a princess. My parents don't, by the way, don't take my royal history for what it is. I'm giving you a bottle of wine into the crown royal history. But like his sister was married to a Nazi. His family were all Nazis. He was like a bastard child. His mom was a whore. By the way, once again, I was a bottle of wine into it.
What are you talking about? You talking about the Prince show? Prince Philip.
I didn't know about
the interview last night. I didn't fucking hear any of that. All
right. Oh, no. That's just everything that had gone on in under the royal family has been what we would now term problematic.
What we would now term problematic.
What?
Why would you go with problematic? That was like some of the most epic evil shit I've ever heard in my life. There's like pedophilia going on in there. There's fucking racism. All that. Things got a little problematic. Yeah. At that point, we realized we.
I
had
try to keep my nose out of that shit, Bill. I don't want to be under the radar. I don't want the site to get locked on me. And they're like, what did Bert Kreischer? Because all of a sudden some royal fucking websites like dedicates their life to the queen. Is like, how dare you? You can't even talk shit about the queen. Some lady was on Piers Morgan's today saying something. And he was like, she would question the queen.
Does she have her own beehive? You know, like no. If you make fun of Beyonce, like every fucking, you know, fat chick out there starts... They start calling you a bald ginger cunt and all this shit. It's fucking hilarious to me.
I wish I had those. I had those fans once. I had a set of like diehard fans once in my career. I mean, I think I feel it when I watch me perform, but not people that are going to die on my hill. There's not a lot of people dying on my hill.
I wouldn't want them to waste their time doing that anyways. It's like, just, I put out comedy shows every couple of years. Go watch it. If you like it, come see me live. That's all you need to do. I don't give a shit if somebody trashes me on Twitter. And be honest with you, I don't even read it.
Yeah.
I don't fucking read. It's the dumbest
shit. I read yours every now and then.
No.
Me and DeRosa read it back and forth to each other.
Oh, because of that stupid shit? No, Jesus Christ.
Me and DeRosa got the worst of it. They were like, they didn't even acknowledge me or Joe, and any Joe and I are texting each other. Hey man, they pronounced my name wrong in this.
That was interesting. It was interesting to see people watching the same clip and have two of the exact opposite takes on it. But
what was hilarious about that clip was you said, I don't even want to talk about it because people are going to construe this as something that it's not. And all I can say is this. And then they went, no, that's exactly what we'll do. Thanks for giving us a heads up.
Yep, there you go. That's the game plan. You poked your head out just far enough, and now we're going to make up a bunch of shit. It's like, I'm going to fucking, this is my opinion, so I'm going to make him be saying what I'm saying. Fucking idiots. All of them. Fucking idiots.
It's that fucking clickbait. Idiots. You've got to sell magazines.
I don't even want to talk about that stupid shit, because then it just gets them. No, he just said we're fucking idiots. You know that term came from the potato famine? You're a little tone deaf right now. It is so nauseating watching white people trying to fall all over themselves, acting like they care.
Yeah.
I mean, sitting here watching fucking Hollywood acting like, we're going to hire all these people of color, acting like they weren't the ones who weren't doing it 5 years ago, acting like they were the ones who, it's like, you were the guys running the shit. What do we got, fucking 20-year-old people running fucking networks now? You guys were all doing it. It was like when the Me Too thing came out, and then all these fucking guilty assholes had fucking male feminist buttons.
That was a dicey call in a limo going, you want to put this pin on? He's like, I've done some shit. Maybe, I don't know, is there a way I can put it like undercover inside my jacket?
Well, I think if you did some shit, you put it on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I who gives a shit? It's just like, it is what it is. I just do what the fuck I do. If you like it, watch it. If you don't, watch something else. I don't read. I'm a fucking moron.
Yeah.
That's it. So if you want to fucking, and meanwhile, there's stories out there. They were saying how like in by 2050, the amount of plastic in the ocean is going to outweigh the amount of fish. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. How much time did people spend thinking about that? Is they're out there living their best life, buying some more plastic shit that they're going to then give to Goodwill, pretending that people want their old shit. They don't. They just throw it in the fucking ocean.
Yeah. I saw a video one time about Sierra Leone, and they were talking about
half a second. I thought that was a pop star. All right, go ahead. That's that little island right off of India, right?
No, it's in Africa. I think it's in West Africa. Or
is Sri Lanka? Yeah. Is that the one off of
Sri Lanka? I think is what you're thinking of. Okay. But I watched this Vice thing on Sierra Leone. And I there was just this story of this kid who was smoking heroin. He was a child. He's like maybe 10 in the video. I think it was on Vice. And every now and then when I hear like the outrage go off about whatever, the CEO of Papa John's or whatever, I just think of that kid. And I go, God, man, that kid's life is rough. Like, what about that kid? Like, what?
Now, that's why I don't believe in a higher power.
Because that kid's got it. He's just as much a human being as me, and he's smoking heroin to get by. What did he do to
deserve that life? What did I do to deserve this life? How come I got this life? It just doesn't make, like, whatever made us doesn't care. It was for entertainment. And if you look at the fucking animal kingdom, just watching that cow, stupid ass fucking cow has no fucking chance. A fucking cow could maybe outrun me. All right, what the fuck can I outrun in the wild? And just watching, when you really watch like nature videos and realize that like rabbits, they're there to be eaten. And you just look at them. They're not hurting anybody. They're hopping around their little fuzzy fucking tail. And then one of what the fuck is those little things? Shoats, whatever you call those things. They come out of nowhere. These little weasel looking fucking things just jump on their neck. And the things go like, no defense. No defense. Little vegetarian fucking teeth like me, right? Fucking with you meat eaters. It's just fucking terrible. Watching fucking baboons grabbing baby gazelles. It's just, it's the worst fucking thing. It's just like, there's something out there that loves me. God. I don't know. Maybe I need to do mushrooms again.
Yeah. I don't know if that, I think about all the bad shit going on in the world and all the kids that don't get a shake at it. And you're like, well, what if we focused everything on that? Of like just raise the tide enough so like kids don't have to work in diamond mines.
I don't know. That's the thing that the way this whole thing is set up. You know what I really think it is? I think nice people don't want to control other people, and fucking assholes do, and they just took power early on. And they set up this game plan where they just have everybody pitted against one another, and rather than helping each other, we're just like, you know, I mean, I don't want to just blame it on like, oh, the sociopaths and the oil companies, something I do a lot, but like, it's human beings are unbelievably flawed, and your behavior, because of your own insecurities, the amount that you can hurt other people is fucking ridiculous. And then not to mention the shit that happens to you when you're a kid, which isn't your fault. But then you go around and now you're an adult and you basically your job, I think, as an adult is to figure out how you're fucked up and how that's affecting other people and yourself so you can be as little of that as possible. But there's no, I mean, if you're a human being and you're out there walking and talking, the very least you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. You're going to say something.
The very least.
Or do something. So it's a, you know, I don't know. Let's try to fucking, you know, bring the nose back up.
All right, I'll complain about my wife. So I wake up the other morning in San Diego and I go, you know what? I'm going to buy a surfboard. It's $300. It's a foam top surfboard. And I'm going to spend the morning while everyone sleeps. I'm going to spend the morning surfing. I can barely surf, but I was like, it's not that big out there. It'll be fun. And I tell my wife, I go, I'm going to run over to the surf shop and buy a surfboard. And it was amazing how quickly she whittled it down that I just was like, ah, fuck it. I'll just go back to bed. Like, she was like, what time do they open? And I was like, well, I don't know. She goes, I bet they're not even open. And I was like, well, yeah, well, I'll check on my phone. And she goes, well, it's cold out there. You're going to need a wetsuit. And I was like, okay, I'll get a wetsuit. She goes, well, how much money are you going to spend? I said, the board's $300 and this wetsuit's, I don't know. It doesn't matter. And then she's like, where are we going to put the board going home? And then you're going to have a wet wetsuit in the car. I mean, that's going to be, and I was like, God damn it. I just was trying to better myself and
yeah,
have,
but that's like nature, dude. They had to develop their brains because guys were just born, generally speaking, physically stronger and were using that to overpower them. So it's like, all right, I'm not going to try to go at you physically. I'm going to go at you mentally. And I really think that that's why women are smarter, is because they've been doing that for fucking a million years. And, you know, that's kind of how nature develops. Like, oh, I need this. This needs to be better than that so we can level the playing field. And now, considering over the last 100 years, the rule of thumb went away. Like, we're just playing a rigged game, man.
Yeah.
You ever hear what the rule of thumb was?
Yeah, you could beat a woman with anything smaller than your thumb.
Oh, this, yeah, no bigger than your thumb. Can you? I can't not fucking imagine beating anything with a.
But can you?
Stick.
Can you?
Somebody breaks into my house. Yeah, I could hit him with a bat. But it's just like, you really gonna get a wetsuit? All right, time for the stick, lady. I mean, what the fuck is that? Dude, you got a surfboard right there. You could just
I didn't bring it down with me. That's what my daughter goes, you got a surfboard in the man cave. You've never, and everyone just like, they teamed up on me so fucking quickly. And that the like one caveat, they sorry, go, they all got in the water with me. We all got, but Liam would get in the ocean. It was fucking freezing. So we all got in the ocean for a little bit. Whatever.
I know.
San Diego. I didn't realize San Diego is like Texas. San Diego is super conservative.
Most of California is super conservative.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Now, how come? Like, it's just L.A. and San Francisco that are the two.
No, in L.A., places? You go to the like fucking Inland Empire, Burbank, dude. All the beaches, Huntington Beach, Seal Beach, and all down yeah. there. Yeah, it's completely different.
Totally just, different.
They don't have as many followers as, you know, some woke celebrity person just up there pontificating. So that's what I always tell people who don't live in LA. It's like, dude, LA is one of the most incredible places you'll ever go to as far as the food, the people, and just the viewpoints. I'm not saying the viewpoints are always fucking good, but like if you're under the Hollywood sign, it's gender neutral. Ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. 20 miles, no traffic. You could literally go to a white power rally on one of those. And it's like, that's really what LA is. Everything's LA is like, you know, that little montage thing in Beverly Hills Cop. Eddie's walking down the street scene. Like, I mean, that's the Rodeo Drive. That's like the cliche type of thing of like, that's what LA is. It's like, no, man, it's like, there's so much more to it. Good and bad. I don't know.
Yeah, it caught me off guard. So like I was like, oh fuck yeah, the military's down here. Like I just assumed San Diego was this like hippie, liberal, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, this is not that. This is like Navy SEALs live here, and fucking like it was really crazy. Like seeing old people walking around without a mask. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, you can thank all the celebrities to the networks. And even me, I got on people about not wearing masks. So it became like a left-wing, right-wing thing. One of the dumber moves.
I think I'll keep wearing masks. I like wearing a mask. Like, even when...
I enjoy wearing a mask, but it's not... as big of a pain in the ass to not wear it. And like, I don't want to fucking get sick and then breathe on somebody who breathes on somebody and then they die and somebody loses their grandparents. I don't want to fucking do that. I mean,
this is going to change the way people behave sick. I mean, think about it. Like, how many times have you been on an airplane and the guy next to you is coughing and you're like, oh, fuck, I might get sick. Now you're going to be like, dude, put a fucking,
I won't. And I'll tell you, 9/11 taught me that.
What's that?
9/11. Is anything ever going to be funny again? Can we ever make people laugh? But blah, 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 blah. I remember about 6 weeks after that, and you could still smell it burning. They've just almost had it all out, whatever, a month later or something like that. I remember I was on the Upper West Side, and there was that time everybody was coming, you all right, you good? And it was all that in New York, right?
Yeah.
And about three, four weeks later, because we were already doing spots. I mean, I did a spot like 3 days after, right? We ended up, I was trying to catch a crosstown bus. I was at a gig at Stand Up New York. I was trying to get over to fucking Comic Strip with my Metro card. And I was running. I was like, hey, you know, and the bus driver didn't see me and kept going. I was like, ah, fuck. And I was losing my shit. And I looked on the bus and I saw this woman looking at me laughing. And I was just like, all right, New York's back. It's over. We had our little, we're going to care about one another. It's slowly going to go back. Now, I think, you know, as long as there's nothing like, you know, is once it goes back, dude, like people aren't even going to fucking, they're not going to remember it.
Yeah. Quickly. Once everyone starts getting vaccinated, you're going to be, I bet people will feel powerful. I don't know. I think I know for a fact, if I am getting sick and I'm getting on a plane, I'll wear a mask the entire flight so I don't get other people sick.
Okay. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Unless I'm drinking, Bill.
I don't think, you know, I don't know. We'll probably work up an immunity. I don't know. Yeah. Some will happen. So I'm going to be fucking straight edge now, dude.
I like it, Bill.
I don't know how long I can do it because there was like, I forget what I was watching the other night. I was just kind of like, ah, man, I wouldn't mind just fucking having like a little edible. But it was starting to become like booze for me.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's the same fucking problem is if it's in the house, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to do it. You got cookies in the house. I'm eating cookies.
Yeah, me too.
You got kale in the house. I'm eating kale. So I just got to, you know, you got a whole drawer. Yeah, some of these fucking gigs, they give you a bag full of weed now. And then that's just sitting there. You know, and your wife doesn't let you get a surfboard. You need to take the edge off.
I smoked a joint that night and then passed out in my daughter's room. And
dude, that's your catchphrase. You tell the story, I'll tell you. And then you ended up, you know, I'll tell you, I smoked a joint that night, okay?
I smoked a joint that night. No, I'm
some
already
coke after that argument.
I'm already fantasizing about, I have a trainer. I've been working out with a trainer. And so I have a trainer at 4 o'clock today. And I was, you know, Googling George Lopez and I saw a picture of him smoking a cigar. And I went, oh, I'm having a cigar tonight. I'm having a cigar tonight. And then when he said, and we were playing golf for the first time and we cracked those silver bullets, those Coors, I went, ooh, I got Coors in the fridge. I'm going to have a Coors and a fucking cigar. And it's windy out. I love smoking a cigar in the wind. So I'm going to go bust my ass with my trainer. And
why
then
in
I'm,
the
and
wind? Then,
what? I love what? Smoking cigars in the wind.
What is it about the wind? It's hard
I don't
to light.
Know, man. It's to watch the smoke come out of your mouth and just dance away. I love it. Okay. I love it. I can romanticize any way to catch a buzz. I can find
I was gonna say you just painted a picture there, man. I like that.
Oh, I can't watch Michael Jordan smoke a cigar and not want a cigar immediately.
Oh, dude, that was the hardest. What about not drinking whatever he had in that little fucking the right glass for that scotch that was just sitting there, and he was telling his whole fucking basketball life story, and then you know in the end I'm lighting this and I'm drinking that because I'm the greatest that ever fucking did it. I love that documentary,
dude. I watched a interview he did with Cigar Aficionado, and I think you might have told me about it, someone told me about it, and he smokes one cigar and then the guy goes, I got this one too, and he's like, we'll smoke both of them. And I was like, you're smoking two cigars back to back. And he's like, I need something to drink. And I was like, oh, his life is fucking perfect. Like, he just gets to do him all day long. I was like, I'm holding back at all, but.
That was my favorite line Joe DeRosa said last week. He just, you know, Bert, it's great to see you finally cutting loose.
Dude, DeRosa's podcast with Sal Vulcano, when they talk, they were talking about Sour Patch Kids today versus Skittles, and I could not stop laughing because
it's how mad the passion.
They get so upset.
Did you see the mozzarella sticks versus the fucking chicken wings?
No.
Oh my god, Joe was so fucking mad. He's gonna sell you crazy. They don't have like, you know, mozzarella stick nights. It's wings nights. You're crazy.
Mozzarella stick nights.
And then one time, Sal was going off on the fucking whatever the two shakes are,
Shamrock Shake and the McFlurry.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll tell you right now, because a McFlurry can take a fucking walk. McFlurry can take a fucking walk. It's going off. And I actually get into it. And I actually have like an opinion. It's like watching Fox and CNN, but it's about food.
Dude, I watched them talk about Sour Patch Kids. Now, I never liked sour things my entire life. Never liked sour things. And I go on vacation. Very beginning of the pandemic, I take the girls to Arizona in an RV. And Isla says, go into the store when you go to get gas, grab some Sour Patch Kids. And I said, I had the exact conversation those two were having. I said, what's the lure of a Sour Patch Kid? Like, what is the, so what, you get over it? Like, you can overcome the taste and then you get the good stuff?
Yeah.
And they're like, some people like sour stuff. And I was like, no one does. And they're like, well, we do. And Bill, I am addicted to Sour Patch Kids. I started eating them that week. And then when we were on the tour bus, I would take, we had these edible mints. I would crush up these edible mints and pour them on the Sour Patch Kids. And then we would have marijuana Sour Patch Kids dusted with marijuana on the bus. And I would eat bags of them, bags of them.
You are a chef at heart. You're always doing that. Hey, you ever have this Heath bar? Dude, I take a Heath bar. I put it in the oven with some Fritos. It's just like, what the fuck? I will say this, though. As far as that, I just to, as we're promoting the show, and Joe was nice enough to come on last week, even though he opened his big fat trap. How long would Joe last in the mob? Fucking 3 days? Big fucking idiot. I would say between the mozzarella sticks and the chicken wings, I gotta go to sticks all day long.
Oh, a good mozzarella stick. Oh, come on, with a little bit of ranch and some marinara. That's the great.
I like the marinara sauce. I'm not into the ranch, but dude, that thing when it's the perfect level, like there's nothing worse than an underdone one in the over. The person that hits that sweet spot.
Oh God!
Yeah, I don't think that like wings can. Wings, I don't know. They're fucking messy.
I love wings also.
I like wings too. I like wings too. But like, if I got to choose between the two, man, I got to go the sticks. I don't want to do their show here, but I was just curious as what you thought.
Oh, I'm a big mozzarella stick, but my problem is, my daughter said to me the other day, like, yeah, you got a problem with pizza. Like I have a problem with pizza. Like when I order pizza, I order an extra
when box. When I order pizza, you saw you just finished one.
I order extra boxes of it. I make sure we have lots of leftovers because, man, I can murder pizza. Murder.
Okay, you get a large cheese pizza, right? How many slices can you do?
Oh, the whole thing. Yeah. I do the whole thing.
And the crust? Sick. You can get the crust down?
I do the crust. Bill, we got...
Because that's cheating. You don't do the crust. That's fucking cheating.
Yeah, we got six pizzas the day we got down to the Hotel Del Mar. Six pizzas. They got great pizzas down there. Six pizzas. We had maybe three pizzas left. I woke up in the middle of the night. I swear to you, I got pretty loaded. Smoked a joint that night. Woke up in the middle of the night. And I had put a pizza in my pocket of my pajamas.
Oh,
I pulled it out in the middle of the night. Took a bite and threw it on the side. Leanne goes, we wake up the next morning. She goes, what is all over your side of the bed? And I went, oh, I found a piece of pizza in my pocket last night. And she was like, what the fuck?
Bert.
I got a problem with pizza.
You need an intervention. That is like some junky shit. Just sitting there like fucking, oh my God. I
probably wrap this up. I got a class.
I do four. I always say I'm going to have two slices. Then I'll have four occasionally. Then I'll come back, you know, double back and I'll get maybe the fifth one. But, I can't do a whole pie. Not out here. There's no pizza out here good enough to do the whole pie, but back east, there's a bunch of spots in Massachusetts just because I grew up out there that I know that I could definitely do it. And in New York, because I live there, there's a lot of places.
Oh, if you go into Ben's, what's your order if you go to Ben's?
Oh, Ben's Pizza?
Yeah, what's your order?
Okay. All right. Those are happy days. All right, yeah, you just got to have a plane just to have a plane.
Yeah, oh, of course.
And if they got a pepperoni mushroom, that's my favorite. I'm probably knocking down two of those, and then I'm going to see where I'm at.
I would.
How long does the conversation happen afterwards? The people, when they go by Ben's, they have no idea the amount of fucking comedians that were in between. Do you remember? I remember the summertime shows and going in there and the sweat drying from your sets. Cause I was moving around, like, cause I was so nervous and drying on my face and then being so relieved and having all, like, you get $50 a spot and it was all mashed in with cab fare money all stuck in, right? Like when you're drunk and come out of a titty bar back in the day, right? And going in there and then being like, having to pay and being like, oh, fuck. Because that's back when it was dangerous down there.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you just grab one and peel it out and be like, please don't be a 50. Please don't be a 50. Yes, I'm going to get mugged here. Me, Dane, Bobby, Patrice, Keith, Voss, we would all just, nobody knew who the fuck we were. We all would all just be standing there fucking just eating that pizza, laughing until like fucking 3 a.m. I actually like Ben's better than Joe's.
I love Ben's. I love Ben's. I would always get a cheese, pepperoni, and then if they had spinach and the white
the white pizza,
spinach with it, I had to get one of those. And then I'd always grab one for the road, cuz I lived over on McDougal, and so I'd grab one for the road. Fuck.
All right, real quick. My late night when I was in New York, because those fucking delis are open all the time. My late night move was I would get 2 slices of pizza at one of those Rays, and then I would get I get like a pint of ice cream, and then I would get a can of regular Pringles.
Oh.
And I would go home, and then that was just it. And I would just eat the fucking pizza, right? And then I'd have a little bit of the ice cream, and then I'd open the can of chips, and it was just like dush, 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 all the way down. And then the next morning I wake up like, why the fuck did I do that?
When I'm in New York now and I see a pizza place, like say I fly to New York, I drink on the plane, I land, I check into the hotel. And
I like
see
how
the,
you said that, like that goes without saying. I fly to New York, I drink on the plane.
It's a 5-hour flight, yeah. The second I see a pizza place, I go, who are we kidding? We're not on a diet. We're fucking this up right now. I just walk in. I mean, it's so funny, Bill. I ordered my first drink in a year because I haven't been out. Like I haven't ordered a drink.
Wow.
And we were at that hotel, and they had the socially distant outdoor on the beach seating to have dinner. We went out, my whole family went out for dinner, and the lady said, what can I get you to drink? And I went, oh my god, I have a drink that I don't normally drink, but I haven't had it barely at all this whole time because I haven't ordered it. And I go, double Tito's and soda, big glass, no lime. And then I was like, I haven't said that in a year. I haven't said that, and I said it every fucking night. I mean, dude, it was like
your face is all cleared up. It's you're looking. Yeah, dude, I remember one time when I was drinking, there was somebody on the plane, male stewardess, whatever the fuck. What do you call him? Stewards?
Flight attendant,
right? He knew who I was, and I was drinking, and he just kept bringing him. I was so fucking hammered. I was so fucking hammered by the time I got to LAX. I went home with a passenger. Like, he drove me home. He's like, do you need an Uber? I'm like, you want me to give you a ride? I was like, yeah, fuck it. And I got in the car, and I didn't realize my wife was driving to LAX. And I got home as she got to LAX or something like that. She was like, where are you? And I was like, oh, sorry again. Dude. It was the maddest I think I ever made her.
I'm in someone's car. She
drove all the way the fuck down there. It couldn't have been like, she couldn't have got there when I came. The plane came a little early. That's all I remember. She was going to the airport. Might have been Burbank, dude. I was that level hammered. It was LAX. I remember that because I got down to baggage claim and I was like getting the bed spins just looking at the carousel. Dude, it was bad. It was bad. All right, we got to wrap this up here. All right, this has been another wonderful episode of the Bill
Burt
Podcast.